We're doing in Yaakov, we're up to page Yud Beis in the standard editions, Daf Lamed in the Gemara Shabbos, towards the end of the second chapter, Bamei Madlikin. And the Gemara had been discussing a very important topic, the topic of Simcha, happiness. It's a very important topic. The Talmud had asked, why does King Solomon sometimes praise happiness? And then other times he says, what's the point of being happy? And the Talmud had said, it depends on which happiness we're talking about. Then the Talmud went on to say that the Shekhinah doesn't settle on a person out of laziness, out of sadness, out of lightheadedness or foolishness, out of idle chatter or wasting time. Don't expect the Shekhinah to settle as you're surfing the web. It's not going to happen. Where does the Shekhinah come in? When a person has the happiness of performing a mitzvah. You want to have Shekhinah, you know where you can have it? If you get up and do the dishes. Tell your wife, honey, you take a break, I'll do the dishes. There you might have, you do it with a smile, you're really happy as you're doing, you might meet the Shekhinah. You know where Yonah got his Shekhinah? Yonah got his, the prophet Jonah. How did he attain prophecy? He was dancing in honor of Hashem in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. In dancing. Ah, you dance at a wedding to make the Chatan happy. Not to show off your moves. To make the Chatan happy. So then, there you might find the Shekhinah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda the Amora, the disciple of Shmuel, Rav Yehuda taught v'chein l'dvar halacha. Not only with regards to the Shekhinah, but also with regards to understanding, to getting it right in halacha, you gotta have happiness. Start with a joke. Start with something light. A person has to be happy in order to succeed in learning halacha. I have to tell you, the biggest halachic authorities I knew were happy people. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu would smile a lot. Very happy person. Rav Avraham Shapiro, very happy person. He had one of the biggest smiles I ever saw. And Yibadel L'chaim Tovim, Rav David Feinstein, is also a very happy, easygoing person. And that's a tool, an important tool. You want to get halacha, you got to be able to be happy. That Rav Soloveitchik said about the Chazon Ish. When he visited the Chazon Ish was jovial and happy until they started talking halacha. When he started talking to him halacha, suddenly he became like a computer. Strict and stern and focused. And he would fire back. Anything he'd ask him, he'd fire back the answer. The answers were like a machine gun. So the happiness has to be a state of being. When you're learning, you have to be focused. It's serious. Learning Torah is a serious thing. You have to enter it from a state of happiness. But when you're actually learning, you have to be very focused and serious. Amar Rava v'chein l'chalom tov. Rava said, the same is true for a good dream. If you go to sleep happy, you'll end up seeing a good dream. So the Gemara questions, Ini, is that really so? The Amar Rav Gidl Amar Rav, Rav Gidl taught in the name of Rav. Kol talmid chacham shiyoshev lifnei rabo. Any wise student who is sitting before his Rebbe, ve'en siftotav notefot mor, and his lips aren't dripping with bitterness, with awe, with fear. If he isn't sitting there with respect to the point where he's trembling before his teacher, tichavena, then his lips will burn. He's not going to get it. Sheneemar siftotav shoshanim notefot mor over, al tiki mor over, lamar over, al tiki shoshanim, ela sheshonim. So the Talmud derives it from a verse that describes the lips of the beloved, the lips of the people of Israel, are shoshanim. Are like, what are shoshanim? Like roses. They are dripping with mor. Mor is a special perfume, what we call musk. So they're dripping with musk. So they have their own beautiful smell, and they're dripping with that beautiful smell. So the Talmud says, don't read it as mor, which is that beautiful perfume, but rather mar. There has to be bitter. Don't read it shoshanim as roses, but rather sheshonim, that recount their learning. When they're recounting their learning, they have to be dripping with mar, with bitterness. So wait a second, you said I have to be happy. Now you're telling me I have to be so serious? Lokasha habe rabba, habe talmida. First answer, the Rebbe teaching has to be happy. The atmosphere in the classroom has to be that the teacher's happy, the students have to be trembling. So that's one answer. The second answer the Gemara says is, yeah, it depends on before you start teaching or during the learning. Before the learning, you got to keep a good atmosphere. Once you're learning, you have to be very focused. That's what I said earlier. Kihad Rabba, that's what we find that Rabba, Mikame de Patachlu l'Rabbanan, before he'd start teaching the rabbis, Amar Milta de Bdichuta, he'd say a joke, Uvadche Rabbanan, everyone would chuckle, then there'd be a good atmosphere, the Sofiyam Tiv Be'emte o Patach v'Shmaita, and then after they had a good atmosphere, he'd sit with tremendous seriousness, and then they'd start learning. I can tell you that when I call my teachers, I can't stay seated. I intrinsically stand up. I have such respect that I have a hard time formulating my sentences, and I have a hard time staying in my seat. It's over the phone. They don't see me. But the respect that I have, Chazal said, that's important. Okay, so that's the conclusion that the Gemara says about happiness. We said happiness is important. Happiness is important in order to grow spiritually to attain the Shekhinah. Happiness is important to attain learning. Happiness is important to have a good dream. All these things won't happen unless you're happy. So, now the Gemara continues. We had learned that the sages contemplated putting away, hiding the book of Ecclesiastes. They said the work of Koheles has issues that seem to contradict Torah, so they contemplated putting it away, making it scarce. V'av sefer mishlei bikshu lignoz. By the way, some of you asked last Thursday night about the idea of the Zohar being a hidden book. Here you see in the Talmud that there were books of Tanakh that were contemplated on being hidden books, books that were not readily available for the masses. V'av sefer mishlei bikshu lignoz. The sages contemplated hiding the book of Mishlei. Shayu dvarav soterin zetze, because the words of Mishlei seem to be self-contradictory. Umipnemalo ganzuhu. Why didn't they? Amrei, the rabbi said, Sefakwel lavainina vashkachainan taima. When we took the book of Koheles, Ecclesiastes, after investing time and thought, we were able to give an interpretation that worked. Tachana miliain. So if we work hard here, we'll also be able to give an interpretation that will work. Where does Mishlei contradict itself? K'tiv. One verse says, "Altan ksil keivalto." Don't answer a fool in accordance with his foolishness. Pentishve lo gamata, lest you be equal to him. If you answer him, you're going down to his level. V'chtiv. And there's another verse that's not so hard to find. It's the very next verse. The next verse says, "Anei ksil keivalto." Answer the fool in accordance with his foolishness. Penichkam be'enav. You don't want him to think he's so smart. So when I first learned this Gemara, I didn't bother opening the text. I said to myself, "Gee, when I'd be learning Mishlei, would I notice this contradiction? You know, when I got this pasuk, would I remember that pasuk?" And then when I actually opened the Mishlei, I saw it's one after another. It's an obvious contradiction. Lokasha, the Gemara says that's not difficult. Hab divrei Torah, hab bimilei de alma. It depends. It depends on whether the guy is mocking Torah or whether he's a fool who's starting up with you about other issues. Now he tells you a line like, "You can have an argument about." I told you guys the story. I was once on a date and I quoted the pasuk, "Da'gav levish yashchena." So the girl corrected me and said, "It says yesichena." So I didn't argue with her. Okay. It's not what it says. But that's what people quote. So that's one example. Then you could be standing there and say, for the eye can see not itself. That was said by Polonius. And you're thinking, no, that was Brutus who said it to so do you need to argue about Shakespeare? Does it really matter if it was Brutus, Antonius, or Polonius? It doesn't matter. Ah, so it depends. So the guy's arguing with you, right? You quote in the name of Brutus. Et tu, Brute, then fall Caesar. Okay, who said that? So someone's going to tell you Macbeth. And you're thinking that wasn't Macbeth. Now, do you need to argue over it? And he's correcting you. So, depends on Mili Dalmar or not. I swear the army has 20,000 troops by the Gaza border. You read it said 40,000. Do you need to argue over it? Ah, but people spend a lot of time arguing over it. Ki hada hu de'ata lekamei de Rebbe. Scary story. A guy came to Rebbe. Amar lei, he said to Rebbe, ishtecha ishti. Your wife's my wife, which is another way of saying your wife's been cheating on you and she and I have been making out for ages. Uvanecha banai, Rebbe, he's the chief rabbi of Israel, and he tells him, guess what? Those kids aren't yours, they're mine. Not a comfortable situation to be sitting there and hearing this.
Who is this? Which
Rebbe? Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. Rebbe who compiled the Mishnah. Amar lei, ritzoncha shetishte kos sheli ayin? So Rebbe asked him, hey, can I take you out for a drink? Shata upaka. So he drank a cup of wine and exploded. He drank a cup of wine and exploded. What does that mean? So the simple understanding is Nichnasi Ayin Yatsa Sod. And what was the Sod? We have a rule that if someone comes to disqualify someone else, then always that's really their own issue. So it became very obvious that he was the mamzer, that he was the one whose mother had an illicit relationship, and he was the one whose father wasn't his father, etc. Hahu dat al kamei de Rebbe. A guy came in front of Rebbe or Rabbi Chia. Amalei imcha ishti v'tabni. Your mother cheated on your father. And really, she's my wife, and you're my son. Look what they had to contend with. We think rabbis have to deal with chuzpah today. So there are two versions here. In the Gemara, it says Rabbi Chia here. In the Ein Yaakov, the Chia is in parentheses. It seems the Ein Yaakov had a version that this was the same rabbi. Same thing. Can I offer you a drink? He drank and exploded, whatever that means. What does that mean, he exploded? So here, it says like this. When it says, Anek silki valto, answer a fool in accordance with his foolishness, that's in situations where if you don't answer him, you're going to end up like him. So, and if he tells you, there are times where by arguing you go down to his level. So this man is coming to make Rebbe and his children into bastards. In truth, he himself was a bastard. We say, kol haposel b'mumo posel. So if Rebbe would answer him, so then what would Rebbe say? You're the bastard, I know. Your mother cheated on your father. But then what would people say about Rebbe? Kol haposel b'mumo posel. If you're saying it about someone else, must be you have that problem. So you can't answer him. You see, Rebbe didn't answer him. He offered him a drink. Sometimes by answering, you're going down to his level. You'll end up dealing with the same claim. I have a friend who's a Rav of a community. Someone in the community decided to go out against him, started putting up signs against him. So I visited him and I tried to placate him. You know, poor guy, someone decided he has it in for him. So I asked him, why don't you put up a sign defending yourself? You know, he's claiming you did this wrong and that wrong. Please defend yourself. He said to me, it won't work. I'll put up a sign defending myself, so he'll put up another sign, counter that. What am I going to do? Counter every sign he puts up? People won't be able to keep up, and I won't have accomplished anything. I'd rather not say anything. So I didn't say anything, so he put up one sign against me. What's he going to do, put up another sign? Probably not. If I rebut his, he'll give another one, and then I'll have to rebut that, and who knows where it'll end, who knows who will win. But sometimes, if you can answer, then you can really show that the other one's claim has no validity. So there you have to answer. Amar Rebbi Chia, Ahanya Leitzlute Le Rebbi De Lo Lishave Benei Mamzera. Rebbe's prayer worked that his children wouldn't be considered bastards. The Rebbe Kave Matzle Amar. When Rebbe used to pray, he would conclude his Shmona Esrei with the following request. Yiratzon Milfanech Hashem Elokeinu. May it be your will, Hashem our God. Shetatzileini Hayom Me'azei Panim. Save me today from brazen people. Umeazut Panim. That I myself shouldn't be brazen. People shouldn't talk about me and say, look at how brazen he is. Because when a person's brazen, it usually is indicative of the roots he came from. We say, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Eliezer were sitting, and a kid walked by and he threw off his yarmulke in front of them. It was a way of showing them disrespect. So they were very spiritual people, and Rabbi Eliezer looks at the kid, and Rabbi Shua looks at the kid, and one of them says, his mother wasn't pure when his father mated with her. That's why he's so disrespectful. And the other one says, no, his mother wasn't faithful to his father. The kid's a bastard. That's why he's so disrespectful. And Rabbi Akiva looks at them and says, no, both happened. She wasn't pure, so she wasn't with her husband, and she was with someone else, and that's why the kid's so disrespectful. So even though they were the rabbeim and he was the student, they checked it out. They sent their messengers, and they wanted to look into, okay, where's this kid really come from? Turned out Rabbi Akiva was right. The Talmud says that Rabbi Akiva outdid his teachers in that case. That he reached a level, even though Rabbi Shun, Rabbi Eliezer were his teachers, he outdid them. So when a person is brazen, very often it reflects on where he came from. That's why Chazal say a person should be careful. We have 9 traits, the Talmud says in Tractate Nidarim, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. There are 9 types of behavior that are unacceptable in a bedroom. A person can't force his way, a person can't be drunk, a person can't have come right off of a fight, there has to be goodwill between them. We have 9 things that the Talmud says are completely unacceptable in a relationship between man and a woman. There are 9 things that cannot be present during intimacy. There can't be a fight, he can't have decided he's going to divorce her. If he's decided tomorrow morning I'm giving her the divorce, so then he shouldn't be in the middle of there the night before. He can't be thinking about another woman. We have 9 things. When you guys will be chatanim, you'll learn it. So our sages taught us that a person's thoughts, a person's intentions, a person's behavior, a person's state at a time of intimacy will affect the child. So Rebbe prayed, I shouldn't be viewed as being brazen. And God willing, you guys will have important positions in life. You'll be in positions where you have to make decisions. And that means you have to stand up to things. You can't always be a nice guy and forgo things. If you're responsible, you have to stand up. One of the shocking things today is that so many missiles are falling on Israel and no one's standing up to it. You know, it's pretty shocking. Where's the leadership? You have responsibility. It means sometimes you have to stand up and do unpleasant things. But that very easily lends itself to a situation where people look at the leader and say, he's got such chutzpah. He's so brazen. Okay, sometimes that's the importance of being a leader. But sometimes it can be misconstrued. Rebbe would pray every day, save me from brazen people, save me from being viewed as a brazen person. In other words, lest people say about me that my genealogy is improper, that there's a reason I'm so brazen. Obviously something's wrong where I come from or where my kids are coming from.
What's another word for brazen?
Chutzpah. Azpanim. An affront is an act of chutzpah. It's not exactly arrogant. It's disrespectful, but in an extreme way.
It's when you don't really show that much.
with other people, but you're just going to go ahead and do it?
Where you don't care what other people are saying, right? It's a lack of care to the point of having an affront. Yeah.
Even more than pushback, it's not, you're not having empathy with others to some extent.
I don't know if you'd call that aspanim. Aspanim is someone who isn't embarrassed. He has no shame.
Here I'm thinking more of the brazen, not so much pushback.
I'm saying so. Brazen, I was translating the word aspanim. Aspanim is one who is shameless. Aspanim. So Rebbe, we say it every day. Shetatzileni, Hashem should save us from azepanim, from shameless people, umeazutpanim, and from ourselves being shameless. Bidivrei Torah mayhi. Where do we find in the words of Torah that you should answer a person on his level? He shouldn't walk away thinking so smart. Ki ad yatev Rabban Gamliel v'kadrish atida isha sheteled b'chol yom. Rabban Gamliel was teaching that in the future a woman will be able to give birth to a child every day. Shneimar harav yoledet yachtav. The verse says a woman will become pregnant and give birth together. Ligleg alav ato talmid. So a student mocked him. A student was laughing at him. Amar in kol chadash tachta shamish. He quoted a verse. There's nothing new under the sun. It ain't happening. Amar le, so Rabban Gamliel said, bo varecha dugmato b'olam hazeh. He said, let me show you that in this world. You said, ein kol chadash tachta shamish. I'll show you in this world where things can be born on a daily basis. Nafakach v'dei tanegolet. He went out and showed him, you see this hen? Every day it lays another egg. So you see, you can produce on a daily basis. This is where we'll pick up next time. We're out of time. The continuation here. Okay.